we come with that prayer on our hearts, Lord, a prayer of sacrifice, Lord, that we don't want to just bring the offering, we want to be the offering. As the woman came and poured the oil on your feet and laid down before you and wiped your feet with her hair. Well, I don't have any hair, but I have my life. I can lay down before you and say, I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. Lord, we just thank you for a faith family that comes to you with that same heart. I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to be an offering. Lord, that is our heart this morning. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it's a thing of the past. Maybe some of y'all still have landlines. We don't. everything's cell phone. But do y'all remember when you used to have a dial tone and a busy signal and some of the young people like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And then you had local calls and you had long distance calls. And if you tried to call a long distance call and you didn't put in the area code, you need to get that tone. Sorry, you can't call like that. And so sometimes I think I feel that way about our prayer life. And that we think it's just a local call. And then all of a sudden, it feels like it's not getting through. It feels like there's just a disconnect. And maybe he's busy. Is it just me? Anybody else feel like that? Anybody else feel like that? Sometimes our prayers lack power. Sometimes it's just not connecting. Maybe I'm just not getting through. Well, there is a way to power up your prayer life, and it's through fasting. I warned you on Wednesday. If you were here on Wednesday, I warned you. I'm preaching on fasting. I gave you an opportunity to not show up, but y'all have showed up in force. They brought in extra chairs, didn't they? Man, it's awesome. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good, and he is up to something. Amen? And I don't want to miss anything that he's up to. I don't want to miss a thing. So in Daniel chapter 9, we see Daniel, and he's praying and fasting. Fasting is a way to change your prayer life. It's a way to power up your prayer life. And there's a lot of facets to fasting, and maybe you are fasting in this season with us during our 21 days of prayer and fasting. There's all kinds of ways to fast. By the way, if you're doing a water fast, that communion was a gift to you. You're like, this is, I just don't like this bread. It's delicious. Several years in a row, that was the only food I got for 21 days was that communion bread. And it'll make you appreciate it, I promise you. And so there's different ways to fast. And Daniel, he's fasting a way in which it's just vegetables and fruit. It's not even just a water fast. And it's not about the fast. It's about the focus. I need you to grasp that. It's not about if the fast becomes the focus, then you failed in your fasting. It's about focusing on the Lord. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel is in a situation. He's still a young man at this time, I believe. And the nation of Israel has been taken captive into Babylon. And he is crying out to God, is pouring out his heart to the Lord. And this is a much what we see in the Old Testament on fasting. It was a mourning. It was always associated with mourning. They would vex their soul, the Bible would say. They would come before the Lord with sackcloth and ashes. It was a way of mourning, just saying, we repent, we want our nation to be healed. And that's what's going on here in Daniel chapter 9. Verse 3, it says, I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. There was always an element in the Old Testament, always an element of mourning involved in the fast. And so in chapter 9, verse 3, it says that he started fasting. In chapter 9, verse 21, it says there's something happened in the midst of his fast. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel. By the way, this is not a man, Gabriel. He's in the form of a man, but this is the angel Gabriel. It's not just an angel Gabriel. This is the archangel Gabriel. Daniel had connections. God, when Daniel began fasting and praying, God just didn't send some private or some corporal angel. He sent Captain. No, he sent General Gabriel, the archangel. We only know of three archangels. One's name was Lucifer, and then he was cast out of heaven. You know his story. We call him Satan now. The other one is known as Gabriel, and we see him in this chapter. And the next one is known as Michael. We see him in the next chapter. Daniel had some stroke. He had to hook up. When Daniel prayed, God moved. Fasting is a way to get heaven's attention. Not as if, it's not that you don't have his attention already, but when we fast, God says, oh, you're serious. You're serious. You really want to hear from heaven. Daniel wanted to hear from heaven. Daniel wanted God to move on his behalf. And in this time of calling for, he's repenting on behalf of his country. He's repenting on behalf, stuff he didn't do. But his nation, the people that he was associated with, did. And so Daniel is repenting. You can read it all in chapter 9 and then in chapter 10. But it says, when I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, you are greatly beloved. Daniel, Archangel Gabriel, Daniel, God sent me personally to tell you, he really loves you. He really loves you. And he wants you to understand the vision. And he wants you to know what's going on in the heavenly realm. He wants you to be clued in on what I'm doing. And so the angel comes and tells Daniel what's happening in the heavenlies. And then in chapter 10, it's another time, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, this is a later date. And then verse 2, it says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. How many days is 3 full weeks? 21 days of prayer and fasting. I ate no pleasant food. By the way, as I said, Daniel's fast is not just a water fast. It had some food, but he said, I ate no pleasant food. That meant no dessert. That's what that meant. that's the pleasant food. Some of y'all are fasting from dessert. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the river Tigris. Now, I want you to know that sometimes people get started in the fasting, and it's difficult sometimes. And they say, I'm going to skip lunch each day. And man, when lunch comes, you've never been more hungry in your life. And you're going to try and press through. And surely on day one, heaven's going to come down. It's going to fill my car up. And it doesn't happen. And sometimes people get a little disappointed because things don't happen as fast as they thought they would happen in a fast. It's called fast, but it seems pretty slow sometimes. And in this situation, Daniel had fasted for 21 days, and it was on day 24 that the answer came. I want you to notice here that Daniel is told by God, I really love you. And I really want you to know, first and foremost, that I loved you. And now I'll tell you what I'm up to. In this passage of scripture in chapter 10, we have the same thing happening. We have in verse 5, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl. His face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire. His arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. What do we see? We're seeing an angel. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. He was just laid out. Yet I heard the sound of his words, And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I've now been sent to you." While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day," everybody say first day. "From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," this is a demon, "withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael," this is the warring angel, Michael, Archangel Michael. This one angel, we don't know who he is, we don't know his rank, we don't know his name, but he is sent by God to get to Daniel, and he is withheld by demonic powers, the prince of Persia. And Michael said, "My boy's getting through." Michael shows up, goes to kicking fannies, and the angel gets through. And he said, "Michael came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia, higher ranking demons." Verse 14, "Now I've come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come." And so he begins to share with him what God's doing. Look in verse 19. And he said, "Oh man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong." Yes, be strong. Amen. Isn't this cool? I mean, we get a picture of Daniel being visited by the Archangel Gabriel, the Archangel Michael. And he said, "Daniel, we want you to know here on earth what we're doing up in heaven. We want you to know." Here's what goes on when we're fasting. We put off the things that we can see in order to obtain the things we can't. Amen. It's getting serious with God. And so here's Daniel, and in this the previous passage, it said he humbled himself through fasting. If you think fasting is a way to manipulate God, there's a formula to try and turn the knobs and push the buttons in order to get the payout, then you've missed what fasting is all about. Fasting is a way to humble ourselves before the Lord. This is what Daniel is doing. He's humbling himself before the Lord. I want to look in Luke chapter 3. Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted regularly. We have this mentioned in chapter 3 and 4 of his fast. Chapter 4. Chapter 3 is his baptism. And at his baptism, you need to understand, Jesus has not been doing ministry. He's been submitted to his father and mother, and then apparently his dad passes away, and now he's submitted to his mother, and he's not made the first lame person walk. He's not healed the eyes of a blind person. He's not cast out a demon. Not one miracle has he done. And he comes before the Lord, and his time, it says, "I'm on mission now." And he gets baptized, and verse 21 of chapter 3, "And when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased.'" Amen. The thing that Daniel heard, Jesus heard. "You are my beloved son. I am pleased with you." But what are you pleased with? I hadn't done anything yet. God is not, he does not love you for what you do. He loves you because of who you are. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, there is a transferring and a transforming. There is a transferring into a heavenly walk with the Lord. There's a transforming, and that now that you were spiritually dead, you've been made spiritually alive, and now you can be a part of that heavenly realm. And so now, just because of what he's already done for you, he says, "You're my child, and I love you." Now, Jesus has not done any miracles, and yet God says, "I love you." He moves forward in the strength of his acceptance. I need you to catch that. He moves forward in the power of his acceptance and begins doing his ministry. I've been in positions in my spiritual walk where I was just thinking that I was trying to earn his acceptance. I needed to do more in order for him to love me more. I needed to sacrifice more in order for him to appreciate me more. I needed to fast harder and not do any food. I needed to you know, in a lot of the times, the old day, they would whip themselves in order to try and just brutalize their own flesh so that God would love them more. That's not how this works. Our God loves us. Amen. He loves us. And he wants you to move from his acceptance, work from his acceptance, and not for his acceptance. In chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. I need you to see the progression here. In chapter 3, verse 22, the Holy Spirit was upon him. In chapter 4, the Holy Spirit is filling him. Verse 1, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit returned from the Jordan, and now the Holy Spirit is leading him. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I had some preconceived. I've been reading the Bible my whole life. And I've been reading the Bible all the way through, I think for the last 25 years, all the way through each year. And I had some preconceived notions as to Jesus's fast, that because he has now fasted for 40 days, now Satan shows up because he's hungry. At the end of this fast, he shows up because he thinks, I got an easy target. He's weak because he's not eaten for 40 days. That's not what the scripture says. Let's read it again. Verse 2. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Jesus is fasting 40 days, and the devil don't show up at the end of 40 days. He was there the whole stinking time. And the devil's there tempting him for 40 days. And being tempted for 40 days by the devil, in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. You reckon? Yeah, you're hungry. But I want you to understand, Jesus ain't on the defense. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We see that the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness for this time of temptation. The book of Mark, same story. It uses a different word. This passage says led him. If you look it up in the book of Mark, it says drove him. The Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. It's a crazy word. It's hard to even wrap your head around it the first time you hear it. It's the same word used when a demon is driven out of somebody. It's the Greek word ekbalo, ek, away from, and balo, throw. The Holy Spirit threw Jesus into the wilderness. Threw him out into the wilderness. No, it means that he urged him. He pushed him forward. Jesus, you are now on mission. Now it is time. Now it is time, because we've come to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus, now's the time. Let's move. And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. Nope, I jumped way too far ahead. No, I'm good. I'm all right. Everybody, calm down. chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Adam and Eve was tempted by this same Satan to eat, and they did. And when they did, all humanity fell. Jesus was tempted to eat, and he didn't. And through him, all humanity can be saved. Amen. Amen. Moses fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. And after he brings down the law. Jesus fasts for 40 days in the wilderness. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Amen. The nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 is the number for testing. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they angered God by their gluttonous lust for food. Jesus is there in the wilderness and having an opportunity to create his own food. He refused, not being prompted by Satan, and he won the victory over the enemy. Amen. Jesus fulfills it all. He does it all. And don't think that he's on the defense. He's on the offense. It's not like the Holy Spirit was surprised when Satan showed up in the wilderness. The omniscient Holy Spirit knew Satan would be in the wilderness. And Jesus is on a mission to go defeat him. And he fasted in order to be prepared for this 40 days of temptation. I had it all mixed up in my head. I had it. All mixed up because I thought Jesus is now at a weak point because of his fasting and Satan tries to hit him in his time of weakness. No, Jesus knew he was going to Satan, and in order to strengthen himself, he fasted. In order to strengthen himself, he fasted. And Satan just finally gave up. Look at verse 13. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Maybe I'll just show up when you're not fasting. Maybe he thought this would work. Maybe he thought he would be weakened by the fasting. But I'm going to tell you what fasting does. It strengthens you. Your soul will soar during a time of fasting. It is a time in which I put off the things of my flesh, and that vacuum, that void is filled with the things of the Spirit. Verse 14, check it out. Next verse. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. I need you to see the progression once more. In chapter 3, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Chapter 4, verse 1, verse 2, the Holy Spirit now filled him. The Holy Spirit led him, and now the Holy Spirit has empowered him after his 40-day fast. He is empowered. He moves forth in power. Maybe you're in a wilderness. Maybe you're being slammed by Satan. Well, there's no better time to fast. There's no better time to say, you know what, I'm going to get this flesh submitted to my Savior. That's what fasting does. It says, my flesh isn't going to rule this soul. I will rule my flesh. And this is what happens in the time of fasting. I want to point out once more, Jesus wasn't doing it for his acceptance. He wasn't working for God's acceptance. He was working from God's acceptance. He didn't fast in order to get God to love him. No, he fasted because he is now moving forward on mission with God. And that's what we need to be understanding as we're fasting, as we're ready to do business with the Lord. I want to encourage you that if you've never done this, if you never fasted, I just want to encourage you again. It's not easy. It's not easy. Remember the first time I fasted, I never heard, fasting was never brought up in church. I don't remember in all of my childhood anyone ever talking about fasting. And I was already in the ministry when I heard someone encourage me to fast And I was serving as a minister, and I don't even think it was our church that talked about it. I think it was somebody at the college I was going to talked about it. So I said, we're going to do it. Babe, we're going to fast. We're going to fast for a day. And I was told, man, the scriptures will just come alive. They lied to me. I couldn't hear God for my stomach growling. I was so hungry. I felt like my large intestines was eating my small ones. I was dying. And I remember the exact spot in the bedroom. I'm just trying to hear God. I'm reading these scriptures. I can't even make heads or tails of this stuff. It don't make any sense. But you know what? God, he took that moment of self-sacrifice. Maybe I was doing it all wrong. Maybe I had the wrong focus. But he still said the same thing that he said to Daniel. He said to Jesus, I love you, son. I love you. Don't be doing this in order to earn my love. I'm telling you, I already love you. And so the time of fasting is not in order to try and earn it. But while we're fasting, we're actually feasting on the things of the Spirit. I don't know why it was so hard back then. Probably because Satan, he loves to kill babies. And I was a baby in my faith. And he likes to hit things when they're young and vulnerable. And it was hard. It's not that hard anymore. It is amazingly powerful. My soul soars during times of fasting. Scripture do come alive now. And maybe you have a similar experience. You're starting this fast and you're like, brother, I can't even think, I'm so hungry. I've never been more hungry in my life. It's okay. If you go get you a donut, can I share a little secret? I didn't share this for the first service. It was 2 years ago, 21 days of prayer and fasting. I was hungry. I was hangry. And there was some very cruel people that used to bring donuts to the church and would do that even during 21-day fast. And it was a Sunday. And by the way, when I'm through preaching on a Sunday, three services, I'm poured out. I mean, sometimes I can barely keep my head up to eat lunch. And then when you're not eating, it's even more so. And I remember I was going to my truck, and I walked through that kitchen, and there was a stinking box of donuts in that kitchen. And I had just been craving donuts. And I'm sorry I just spoke that word twice. I'm sorry if some of y'all are fastest. But I ate one. I've never had anything so good in my life. It was delicious. But I want to tell you something. I didn't fail the fast. I felt like a failure for a second. I'm going to tell you what fasting is all about. Fasting is a way to humble yourself. And when you humble yourself, you become irresistible to God. Sometimes it takes some severe things to get this flesh humbled. And sometimes it takes some severe things to get this flesh submitted to the Lord. And fasting does it quicker than anything. And so it's a time of humbling yourself. And if your fasting, instead of becoming a thing of humility, becomes a thing of pride, then you violated the fast and you failed the fast. So if you're doing that and you say, man, I'm doing good. I hadn't eaten anything in 8 days. This is number eight, day eight of the fast. I haven't eaten anything, and it becomes a thing of boasting. Then you have now violated the fast and you did all of that for nothing. So now it's time to recognize, what's this for? It's a way to humble myself before God, because God can't help himself. He loves to lift up the humble. He says, those who are proud, he brings down. Those who are humble, he lifts up. So whatever it takes to get this soul submitted to the Lord, do it. Do it. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it out. Cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. But whatever it takes. Now, he's not literal, by the way, when he's talking about that. At least I pray that he wasn't literal. I only got one good eye. But what he's saying is, you do whatever it takes to get your soul submitted to the Savior. And I don't think there's anything that'll do it better than fasting. I don't think so. So maybe if you're in it, if you're in the middle of the fast, maybe you just need a little encouragement, a little direction. The fast isn't the focus. The fast isn't the focus. If it caused you to puff up because you're doing it, you violated it. Whatever it takes to get this soul submitted to the Lord, when we do, God says, I can't help myself. Can't help myself. Father God, thank you so much that you love us that much. Lord, I pray that as we come before you, that we would do exactly that. That it wouldn't take 21 days to get ourselves humbled before the Lord. But during this 21 days, we're experiencing the overflow of your Spirit. That we're experiencing the empowerment of your Spirit. That we're getting vision from heaven, just as Daniel got. We're getting visitations. We're getting to clued in on what you are doing. May it be so, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.